of Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
It's an assault on the government of the United States. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what Attorney General Bill Barr will tell lawmakers today about the protests in Portland, Oregon. They've clashed with federal officers protecting a courthouse, but the mayor wants them to leave the officers, joining leaders of five other cities, calling on Congress to make that kind of federal deployment illegal. In 2 hours, Barr will be at the House Judiciary Committee.
In a previous opening statement, Barr, we hear, will say this: to tacitly condone destruction and anarchy is to abandon the basic rule of law principles that should unite us even in a politically divisive time. But Democrats plan to grill him on everything from the federal deployment in Portland to the Mueller report.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. The late Congressman John Lewis heard one last time last night.
Be courageous. Stand up. Speak up. Speak up.
A message played at a ceremony at the Capitol. People this morning will again pay their respects to the Democratic civil rights leader lying in state. Senate Democrats do not like the Republican plan for more economic stimulus, just a third of what the House passed. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says it's not comprehensive,
but rather a series of small piecemeal ideas.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, under the $1 trillion plan, the federal government would provide an additional $200 a week in unemployment insurance and ask states to give laid-off workers 70% of their usual wages. Democrats say the additional $600 a week has been providing a much-needed cushion. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell accusing Democrats of stonewalling and calling for cooperation.
Quickly join us around the negotiating table.
The Republican plan includes another round of $1,200 direct payments to some Americans, money for testing and contact tracing, and liability protections for schools and businesses. Dave?
America's listening to Fox News.
Hiring can be difficult, but if you're a company that's currently trying to hire, you face new difficulties. Housing Wire could relate. They needed to hire a reporter to cover the U.S. housing markets, so they turned to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's smart matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And that's how HousingWire found Alexandra Roja. Alexandra never imagined she could get a reporter job in the midst of COVID-19 until she created a profile on ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter matched Alexandra to HousingWire's reporter job because she was a great fit for the role. HousingWire received her application only 4 hours after they posted the job. And a few weeks later, Alexandra started her dream career. ZipRecruiter helped HousingWire find the right person for their role fast.
See how ZipRecruiter can help you hire. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Gunfire in Denver, Colorado last night aimed at 2 Aurora, Colorado police officers as they pursued robbery suspects. One officer was shot in the arm, the other in the hand, so the injuries are not considered life-threatening. The gunman was also shot and critically injured. Where is Mom? That's the big question in 3 states after a little boy was found wandering by himself on a street in Florida.
There's a search underway from North Georgia to South Florida and even in Alabama for a 21-year-old mom nobody can find, whose 2-year-old boy was found barefoot on the streets of a suburb more than 700 miles away from home.
He was found wearing a t-shirt and diapers, and that's it.
Tanya Ruiz with the police department in Miramar, Florida. Relatives noticed pictures of the child online. Gina Lewis says her sister is the mom.
That is my nephew, 100%.
But Mom, whose name is Layla Cabot, lives in the Atlanta area. No one has seen her. The family can't think of why she'd go to Florida. In Broward County, Florida, Evan Brown, Fox News.
Ellen DeGeneres is funny to watch on TV, but some of the people who work for her aren't laughing.
An internal investigation of the Ellen DeGeneres show is underway after numerous accounts of workplace problems have surfaced in recent months. According to Variety, executives from the show's producers, Telepictures, and distributor, Warner Brothers, sent the memo to current staffers last week saying they engaged employee relations and an outside third-party firm that will interview current and former staffers about their on-set experiences. The memo cited recent articles in Variety and BuzzFeed as the reason for the investigation. The Variety article reported on the treatment of legacy crew members during the lockdown, and the BuzzFeed piece contained sources that claimed racism and intimidation. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
On Wall Street, Dow futures are down more than 100 points ahead of today's trading. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Good morning. I'm Jamie Monticelli with your ESPN 93.5 local news update. Urbana leaders today will consider changing the name of a city street. The News Gazette says six of the 13 homeowners on Plantation Point petitioned the city to change the name of the street. A letter written on behalf of the homeowners supporting the change said the word plantation has inferences to the plantation's historical role in slavery. Mayor Diane Marlin has said she is in favor of the change. City Administrator Carol Mitten is recommending the new name for the street be River Birch Lane. The group also suggested Grace Hill Lane as a name. Alderman will vote today. The Illinois State Museum in Springfield opened on Saturday after closing for 4 months because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Dixon Mound site in Lewiston opened earlier in the week. So did the Illinois State Museum's Research and Collection Center in Springfield, where visitors have to make an appointment. You're up to date. I'm Jamie Monticelli.
Hey, good morning. Weather brought to you by Watts Compi Systems. Excited to announce her new office at 475 Devonshire Drive. Same great service, same great products. Call Greg Wolf today, 352-0428. Good morning, Diane Ducey.
Hi, Stevie. We're at 67 now. There is some low-lying areas with some fog, but otherwise abundant sunshine is how the National Weather Service is describing the day, with a high 86, 63, our low into the evening tonight. Partly cloudy tomorrow, showers at 10%, up to 88, down to 69. 79 the high on Thursday. The chance of rain at 50%. Right now, the temperature is again at 67. ESPN 93.5.
Talk to Congressman Rodney Davis coming up in a few minutes. Our friend Boyd Matheson, Deseret News, coming up bottom of the hour. Happy to welcome a former instructor at Johns Hopkins, a member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She's Dr. Marilyn Singleton, who says there's a spike in the COVID numbers, but doesn't mean we should shut down again. Is that what you say, Marilyn?
Absolutely. That there's no need for everyone to be so frightened of this. And when you look at the history and look at the natural pattern of the disease, that there is no reason to throw people back into lockdown, which many studies as well as modeling has shown doesn't really improve the situation.
I'm not sure we're going to win the argument right now, because I think we're in a little bit of hysteria when it comes to children. I mean, the numbers clearly show that kids could go back to school, but you can't tell people the numbers. They're just not hearing it.
Absolutely not. And there's nothing sadder than hearing about the death of a child, but it's so rare for children to actually die of COVID-19. And certainly up to 20 times more children every flu season die, but we don't even hear about it, and certainly schools aren't shut down.
Can't we go back to school safely? We understand the teachers and the bus drivers, but we know how to socially distance now. We know how to wear a mask and all that. The teachers could do that. And if you don't feel comfortable, then don't go teach and put them in somewhere, maybe the online learning or something.
Absolutely. The problem, and it tends to be a government problem, that solutions tend to be an all or none choice. You know, either this or that. How about both? How about being creative and let the kids go back to school, and certainly the younger ones, because the numbers show that young children do not pass on COVID, that in fact the kids who have gotten it have gotten it from adults. And there's scientific reasons for that. I won't go into that, but it's very clear there's a reason that the younger kids don't get it. Once you get up to age 12, it might be a different story.
I'm understanding 19 and under pretty safe, like very, very unusual for them to get it or transmit it. But the bottom line is this. What happens when the next one comes? Are we doing the same thing? We shut down America?
I certainly hope not, that this cannot be the new way that we, our government people, decide to deal with virus. These viruses are going to be around, just like we're starting to have these antibiotic-resistant bacteria. We're having all sorts of novel viruses. And hopefully other countries, the Asian countries that use these wet markets and have the viruses jump from animals to humans, but they're out there now. So we have to learn to deal with it in a fashion that does not throw society in a tailspin.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll all be living in poverty.
Should we have ever shut down in the first place, do you think? Because back in late March, I mean, I didn't know if we had something that was going to kill off the world. I mean, for all we knew, it was new. We didn't know. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe 2 weeks to flatten the curve. But the problem is in places like Illinois, it went from flatten the curve till we can't go back to normal till we get a vaccine. Who said that?
Well, exactly. And you said it. In the beginning, we didn't know. It seemed like a reasonable thing to do. And arguably, even looking back, it was a reasonable thing to do when you're hit with a totally unknown situation. Now we know. We know so much about the disease. We know how it spread, et cetera. So there's no need to react in such an extreme way. And the goalpost has been moved and moved and moved. And yes, you're right, it was flattened the curve. And now, who knows what the next goalpost will be? And who knows if we'll ever have a vaccine? So we have to look at this reasonably. And this is not how any society can live.
And I wonder how it's going to affect us when we're staying away from everybody. We're going to be more susceptible with our immune systems and catch other things because we're not intermingling like we used to do?
This could be an issue, and it's certainly something we don't know. And one of the reasons some are positing that children don't get sick is that there's cross immunity from other coronaviruses, which cause the common cold. Not that this one is a common cold, but it's the same type of virus. And there's so many things that we can do other than shutting down the economy and having people dying of more drug overdoses, suicides, child abuse, spousal abuse, all this list of horribles that are going on now because of the lockdown. And people need to get back into society. Protect the vulnerable. Isolate the sick. Make sure you aren't infecting folks in nursing homes. So we know things now we didn't know 4 months ago, and let's act on it.
Last question, Marilyn. I've been railing about, you know, we're not allowed to go to church. Some of our churches are opening up, but then there's 27 million that have been protesting. Certainly doesn't help in a pandemic. All I'm asking elected officials to do is say, hey, that's not a good idea either, but they tend to endorse it and march in them. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And this kind of behavior actually has gone on since the beginning, that people couldn't go to church, yet they could be shoulder to shoulder in Walmart with strangers they didn't even know. At least in church, you know those people, and you'd be able to track them down if you did get sick.
Yeah. Dr. Marilyn Singleton, I appreciate your viewpoint. Here's hoping and praying we can get through this, because there's been a beginning, we're in a middle, but I don't see an end, and that's scary.
Oh, let's just hope. Please, please, please get everything open and get people thinking reasonably and not out of fear.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Dr. Marilyn Singleton, ESPN 93.5. And the News Gazette reporting Georgetown Ridge Farm will now be all remote learning. Urbana teachers are employing their school board all remote learning. That's what they're trying to get done. Yeah, it's not for the kids. Kids are going to be fine. It's the teachers that might be worried about it. But why don't we just say you're open, and if you're not comfortable, then you're on the remote teaching staff. But you're going to miss a lot of kids that aren't going to get the at-home learning that you ought to be getting when you go to school. Anyway, I know the plan's in place, but I also know the plan is movable, and there are people that have said, here's what we're doing, but it's not set in stone. But I'm telling you, it's crazy. So Georgetown Ridge Farm, the school board votes full remote learning plan. And that's where we are. All right, ESPN 93.5, you can also chime in. Facebook Live, welcome all our Facebook Live listeners, watchers, viewers. Thank you for watching on the new YouTube channel, on Twitter's Periscope. And again, ESPN 93.5, and of course, podcasting, you can always do that. If you miss the show or only hear part of something, you can always do that. All right, let's jump to sports headlines, which, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we have some sports.
Yes, we do, with baseball back, and the St. Louis Cardinals will face Minnesota. It's a 6:15 pregame here on ESPN 93.5. First pitch at 7 p.m. Let's get your Redbird Recap.
The Redbird Recap is sponsored by Central Bank, your hometown Bank of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Good morning, everyone. The Cardinals are in Minnesota to take on the Twins tonight. First game of their first road trip of the season after taking 2 of 3 from the Pirates over the weekend. Tonight, it's Carlos Martinez making his first start in his return to the rotation against Homer Bailey. On Sunday, President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak reflected on a good start to the 2020 season.
Obviously, it's different. Attending games with fans, if you close your eyes, you feel like you're at a normal game just with the background noise and how they're doing it. They've really done just a great job with creating that atmosphere, but overall, great how we're playing.
Olive Hammer and Total Access at 6:15 tonight before the 7:10 first pitch for the Cardinals and Twins. After three games against Minnesota, it's off to Milwaukee and Detroit before the Redbirds return home next week. I'm Chris Raby on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
We believe in the perfect game, the hard nigh, the gas house game, backflips and Uncle Charlie, Clydesdales, scorecards, and hitting the cutoff man. Two birds on one bat, hanging banners, and that next year is now. We believe in Cardinals Nation.
Central Bank believes in being the hometown bank of the Cardinals. Welcome to Cardinals Checking for those who believe. Sign up for free Cardinals Checking with Central Bank and get an exclusive Cardinals 11-time champions jersey and 2-game tickets. Find out more at cardinalschecking.com. Restrictions apply. One offer per household while supplies last. Member FDIC.
Cubs and Reds at it again tonight with a 5:05 pregame, 5:40 first pitch on US 105.9. What a game yesterday.
Yeah, it was. It was 7-0 Cubs. And then it got to the ninth inning, and all of a sudden, Reds started scoring late. And so Craig Kimbrell, the closer for the Chicago Cubs, walked 4 and hit a batter. They had to take him out. And then Jeremy Jeffries came in, bases loaded, only one out. He got Irwin.
Swing and a miss, strike 3. He chased a bad ball up and in.
And then he got Joey Votto to line out to win the game.
Jeffress gets the strikeout, and that's out number 2. Votto lines one into right center on the run, and making the catch is Albert Almora Jr., and the Cubs win the ball game.
Woo! Was not pretty, but it's a W for the Cubs in Cincinnati.
Fly the blue Woo! W. Chicago White Sox were rained out yesterday, so they've got a doubleheader. Starts at 3:40 today against Cleveland, and Rick Renteria staying home. I think they're calling it allergies or something, but they're not mentioning COVID in that situation. NHL saying all negative tests when it comes to them starting to get into the camp mode and getting back in action. At least that was the case last week. And Ione Cofi doing the NBA draft. At least they were invited to do so. They can decide to withdraw on Monday the 3rd, but that NBA draft is October 16th. So we'll see if our two favorite Illini players decide to tiptoe out and pursue a professional career.
Yeah, Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn.
Mm-hmm.
They have to decide by Monday, so... Yeah.
There's another trending story is what are we doing with the Miami Marlins?
Well, Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, said we can manage this. So I've heard the Cubs go on the air at US 105.9 last night, and Pat Hughes comes on and says, we have an announcement. I'm going, oh, no. There's been a rain delay. I'm going, oh, yay. I was afraid that the season was going to get, shut.
Yeah. What you thinking, Steve?
I'm just thinking we better go to the congressman here. Okay. Let me get the weather brought to you by Carl Sports Medicine. Get free injury evaluation at Carl Sports Medicine's walk-in clinic, 217-383-9500, or visit carl.org/sportsmed.
High 86, low 63, partly cloudy conditions, lots of sunshine this morning, partly cloudy and high 88 tomorrow, down to 68, and that's the warm spot of the week. Tomorrow, just barely up to 80, 77 on Friday with partly cloudy conditions. Thursday, we have a 50% chance of showers in the forecast again, calling for those cooler conditions. Right now, the temperature's at 68 on ESPN 93.5.
He is Congressman, 13th Congressional District. He is an ace baseball star, way better than his brother. It's Rodney Davis.
How you doing, Stevie?
I'm fine.
Real good.
Yeah. What did your brother Brent say? He said something funny about your baseball and how you both played, but you said he's a good hitter, right?
He says I can hit better than him, but he's a heck of a lot better pitcher than I ever would have been.
Okay. Okay, I know you're on the road on the fly here this morning. Firstly, the U of I award, the foundation, National Science Foundation Award, what is that about, $25
million? $25 million. You probably didn't know this, and I bet a lot of listeners didn't know this, but the University of Illinois is the largest recipient of National Science Foundation dollars in the last few years because they are leading the charge globally in actually new research, innovative research, and especially with their with the Blue Waters Project and quantum physics issues. They're continuing to bring in research dollars, which only helps the students who decide to major in those areas.
Well, that's great news. We have a pretty bad connection, Congressman. I don't know. I'll try and see if we can get you one more here. Do you want to try and call back?
Yeah, I'll call you right back.
Okay, thank you. It's Rodney Davis. We want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, some good things moving and shaking. I know that that Outdoor Act is also, you know, good news for our Fighting Illini. Oh, here he goes.
Yeah, okay. We'll get the congressman. Got a few more minutes here, I think. ESPN 93.5. We also want to ask him about Michael Madigan. You've heard about that in the ComEd stuff in Chicago and perhaps bribery, and Governor Pritzker says he has to resign if it's all true. Is that even possible for the longest sitting House Speaker in the nation? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me better?
Much better. Thank you. When you say things and you're a congressman, we want to hear them. Rodney Davis. Okay. All right. I want to get right to the meat and potatoes here. Michael Madigan, according to allegations about ComEd and the bribery, and he might be mixed up in it. Governor Pritzker says if it's true, he has to resign. You say resign now?
I do. It's a common known theme here in Illinois politics that the Illinois Democrats have been corrupt. And when you've got Mike Madigan, somebody who's been Speaker of the House since I've been 13, all except for 2 years, I'm 50. This is a guy who has co-opted power. Everyone in Illinois politics knows if he doesn't want something, he doesn't get it. If he wants something, he gets it. But now, from the plea agreement that we saw in the ComEd plea agreement, we're actually seeing how Madigan and his allies and his ward and people he wants to benefit are the only ones who are benefiting at the cost of ratepayers.
Where does this go? Because can't you slow things down and court and lawsuits? And, I mean, where do we go?
Well, this is a long-going investigation. Remember, we were hearing late last year that a former alderman, Danny Solis, possibly a state senator, it's alleged to be Terry Link, all Democrats, never get written in the stories that they're all Democrats. They were wearing wires around Chicago City Hall and around the Capitol. I think probably a lot of interesting conversations were had on those wires. Now, when you look at the allegations, Mike McClain, a former state rep, Mike Madigan's go-to guy, everybody in Springfield knew that, was caught on wiretaps, asking for things on behalf of the speaker. Those are very bad news for the speaker of the House in Illinois. And as you move forward, I think there's no doubt Madigan should resign.
Okay. We'll see what happens with that. I have a feeling it's not going to be very easy, but he's the longest House Speaker in the history of the United States of America. Are you kidding me?
You know, he really is. And the narcissism of that guy, to also be head of the Democratic Party. It just shows you how much he values power,
yeah,
personal power, rather than what's best for his own party and also the state.
All right, Congressman Rodney Davis, should the federal government do something about Portland, Seattle, and, of course, Chicago? Lori Lightfoot said, stay out, stay out, stay away from us. What's your take?
I love Mayor Lightfoot's good cop, bad cop with her her police superintendent. Stay out. Stay out. My voting base doesn't want me to act like I want anything from the feds and President Trump.
Yeah.
And then the police superintendent says, send in your FBI agents. Send in your ATF agents. Send in your DE agents. Mm-hmm. Just don't send me any Customs and Border Protection folks. So they're already taking federal aid. It's hypocritical on behalf of Mayor Lightfoot to say we don't want federal help when she's already asked for federal help and is getting it. But in the end, what's happening in Portland should be a major world news story. A group has taken over 15 square blocks of the city of Portland. 15 square blocks. That's probably the size of the Chicago Loop. That's huge. And at the same time, they are attacking the federal courthouse every night, injuring police officers, injuring Customs and Border Protection officials and federal officials, and destroying property. Of course the federal government should protect federal property, especially if you have a weasel mayor like Ted Wheeler, who the rioters turned on just a few days ago, and he's been trying to suck up to them ever since he got in. It's wrong. If they won't protect federal property, then the federal government damn well better protect it.
What about Seattle? I mean, the mayor of Seattle, they're marching on her house. She was also, it was a summer of love. They're coming after her. It's what Winston Churchill said. You feed the crocodile hoping they devour you last.
Exactly. And that's the way these anarchists are. They have no intention of abiding by our laws, our governmental operations. And again, it's all about their own power. We saw that when they took over the Chaz zone. And, you know, it unfortunately took the death of a young black man and others to get Seattle to say enough's enough. And really, Portland is 10 times as bad and has lasted longer than what Seattle ever was. And that's where I think you see people, the liberals turning on the mayor of Seattle. They're turning on the mayor of Portland, who has let them run carte blanche in the city and acted like nothing's happening. And who is ever going to think they're not going to turn on anyone else in any other communities, yeah, any other cities? It's crazy.
I don't know. I've never, ever, 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 ever in my life thought we'd be talking about no borders, no jails, and no police. Where in the world are we going?
Yeah, it is a different time. It is a crazy time. I've never seen anything like this either. And I certainly hope that the voters of this country take a step back and realize that that there's a major part of our society on the far end of the political spectrum that really believes that the government we have that's created the greatest country in the history of the world shouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And we've got to fight to stand up for it.
Boy, is there an easy choice from the standpoint of philosophy on November the 3rd. I mean, Congressman, abortion, pro-life. Defunding and eliminating police, supporting police. Gun control or gun rights. Open borders or border control. I mean, it's night and day. So, hey, if America wants to go far left on me, I'll be shocked if we do, but I know it's possible.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if we do, too. And I think you'll see the polls tighten up when you get closer to the election. About this same time in 2016, President Trump was nowhere near Hillary Clinton. These are times that I think the electorate will take a step back and realize that in the midst of the pandemic, you could put personalities aside and you've got to do what's best for the long-term health of our country and for future generations. And because of that, I certainly hope Republicans win in Congress, and I certainly hope the president wins again.
Yeah, if it's Schumer, Pelosi, and Joe Biden, God help us, I'm sorry. It'd be because you know it's going to go really, you're going to forget the filibuster. There's going to be a lot of changes that will get things done quickly.
Well, think about this. Just a couple of days ago, Jerry Nadler, the guy Pelosi handpicked to impeach President Trump, said that Antifa in Portland was a myth.
Yeah.
What is he smoking? Where is he living? What is he watching? This is the type of government that's going to turn a blind eye to anarchy, criminal behavior, and attacks on federal property. And we want them to lead the government?
Yeah.
No way.
Congressman, appreciate your time. How do people connect with your office?
Give me a call. Go to my website, www.rodneydavis.house.gov. Take a look at our open office hours and traveling help desk. We'd love to see you. We'll put COVID protections in place. You can call my office at 403-4690 if you need anything. That's my Champaign District office. And you didn't hear me earlier, but my brother is a hell of a lot better pitcher than I'll ever be.
Okay, then.
Well, just stay away from low and away. It's a sucker pitch. Don't do it. Just don't swing at it.
Oh, no. Yeah. Take it to right center, man.
You can't reach it when it's in the dirt. Stop swinging at those. Hey, listen, I appreciate your time. Thank you, Congressman.
See you, Stevie. See you, Diane.
All right. Take care. RodneyDavis.house.gov.
ESPN 93.5. Break for the news. One of our favorite writers, DeseretNews.com. Boyd Matheson is coming up next on ESPN. It's 7:30.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. Plus, when you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live.
Wow, that's huge.
Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand.
Serious questions must be answered.
I'm Dave Anthony.
That's not all. Hear your favorite podcasts from Dana Perino, Bill Hemmer, Martha McCallum, Brett Baer, and many more. Fox News Radio and the Fox News app. Download it today. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Chris Foster. This morning, Attorney General William Barr testifies and takes questions from members of the House Judiciary Committee.
Barr is expected to be asked about the prosecution of Michael Flynn, the pardon for Roger Stone, how the Bureau of Prisons has handled the pandemic for prisoners, the use of federal forces in U.S. cities, and who made the call to clear Lafayette Square prior to the president's photo op in front of St. John's Episcopal Church.
Fox's John Decker. Two potential coronavirus vaccines are moving into the next trial phase. Dr. Anthony Fauci with the White House Coronavirus Task Force tells Fox,
15,000 people will get the vaccine, 15,000 will get a placebo, and then you determine the difference in infection with the coronavirus.
President Trump on Twitter promotes several posts critical of Dr. Fauci, claiming masks don't work and that the drug hydroxychloroquine is a coronavirus cure, being withheld until the election. America's listening to Fox News.
Jamie Monacelli with your ESPN 93.5 local news update. An Urbana man who was on parole for a gun-related offense is in trouble for having a gun. 38-year-old John Allen is not allowed to possess a weapon because of prior felony convictions for possession of a controlled substance, delivery of cannabis, and home invasion with a controlled firearm. The News Gazette said police were told early Saturday that Allen was allegedly involved in a fight that had taken place earlier at a house party, but then left in an SUV. Police found Allen in the SUV, and a gun was on the back seat. State health officials said Sunday more than 1,500 additional cases of the coronavirus have been confirmed in Illinois, and one person has died of the virus. The seven-day average of positive results for COVID-19 among all tests performed in the state was at 3.7%, compared to Saturday's figure of 3.6%. You're up to date. I'm Jamie Monacelli.
It's the hottest sale of the summer, and it's happening at Game Day Spirit on Neal Street. The third annual Epic Clearance event is Friday, July 31st through Sunday, August 2nd. Incredible deals on Illini tees from $4, hats from $5, polos from $15, and more. Find great deals for every Illini fan in your family. Follow Game Day Spirit on Facebook for exclusive previews. Don't miss this epic sale July 31st through August 2nd at the Game Day Spirit location at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign. And go Illini.
How about Honda BMW now becoming Sarah of Champaign? That's going to be on Monday. It'll be officially Sarah of Champaign as they grow and expand.
Okay.
We've talked to Ben Quattrone about the incredible expansion of what they are. And they came in and they from 2013 till now, I mean, what they have done with Honda BMW, you see a lot of little H's on vehicles around town because of their sales and their service. And they've done an extraordinary job. Well, they're going to be owning the Subaru dealership, the Buick and GMC, the Hummer. I mean, there's going to be a wide swath of cars and vehicles that Honda BMW would take over under the auspices of Sarah of Champaign. It'll be Sarah Honda BMW, Sarah Subaru, Sarah. Anyway, lots of excitement. We'll talk more about it on Monday when they launch. But again, looking forward to that. Congratulations to Honda BMW and their growth coming up. Sarah of Champaign beginning on Monday. Let's check your weather.
Up to 85 with the sunshine. 63 our low tonight. Clear. We've got partly cloudy conditions and a high 88 tomorrow. Down to around 68. Up to 79 on Thursday with a 50% chance of showers. We're currently at 71 on ESPN 93.5.
Quite the writer. Quite an American patriot. Boyd Matheson, DeseretNews.com. Salt Lake City, Utah at 6:34 Mountain Time. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. How you doing, Stevie J?
I'm fine, but I'm a little conflicted on a few things here this morning, thus the call to you, because you're one of the smartest guys in the world. Former Bernie Sanders campaign co-chair Nina Turner compares voting for Biden to eating a bowl of crap, but she didn't say crap. That's his supporter. That's Biden's supporters. And it's voting for him is like eating a bowl of, you know what? Are you kidding me? What? And they're threatening to poll the delegates and not vote because he's not doing Medicare for all. And I am, this is an amazing time.
Uh-huh.
It really is. A lot of interesting things going on. A good friend of mine, Scott Howell, a Democrat here in Utah, was on the platform committee, which most people don't realize the Democrats are actually meeting at the moment, hammering out their platform. And he actually talked about that they voted against the single-payer system. They voted against the Medicare for All plank in the platform. And it's really interesting. There's a big chunk of the Democratic delegates that are trying to pull things a little more to the middle, while you've got the Bernie Sanders crowd and those on the far left trying to pull it. So they've created their own little tug-of-war there. And, of course, if this were a regular year, we'd be watching this wall-to-wall on MSNBC and CNN as they have their convention. But it does show you the challenge within the campaign in terms of, are they going to run a campaign that is against President Trump, or are they going to run a campaign in terms of what they are actually for? And it's proving to be very difficult for the Democrats to figure out which way they actually want to go on this.
What are they saying about no borders, no jails or prisons, and eliminating police, the AOC kind of stance? How's that going?
You know, from what I gathered yesterday, I think, again, the more moderate factions within the delegates are trying to say, hey, let's be smart about this, and let's not hand President Trump, you know, all the talking points that he wants for this. Although there's plenty coming out just in terms of the comments. But I think they are trying to, again, say, hey, there is a space for a conversation here. But again, whether those more moderate elements of the Democratic Party can carry the day, and will they create enough excitement for the further left folks, which does tend to have a lot of the younger voters, will that give them enough to actually be motivated to go out and cast a vote?
Okay, well, if they don't acquiesce, can't they say, hey, let's get elected and we'll do this when we're in?
Right. Once we're elected, then we can move further to the left. And that will be, I'm sure there are a lot of behind closed doors conversations going on with a lot of those factions saying, hey, just, you know, don't cause a scene here. Let's not create a big problem. Of course, they're doing this convention mostly through Zoom and other media platforms there. And I'm sure a lot of it is, hey, let's just get along. Let's just get through this thing, and then we can discuss it later. In fact, just really interesting. I was on the Republican platform committee in 2016, and the platforms are an interesting animal. I think the Democrat platform is like 27,000 words, and the Republicans is like 33,000 words, which never really get read by anyone who's actually elected and in office. So I actually went back to Cleveland. And I went back to the original platform that Abraham Lincoln ran on. It was a single page, 1,100 words, 17 points, mostly principles, a couple little policies in there. And I tried to make the case to the delegates on the Republican side, hey, can't we just go back to a single page, 1,100 words? Let's talk about the principles that any family anywhere in America could talk about around the kitchen table, or you could talk to your neighbor about across the back fence or at the local community center or on Zoom now, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to get back to is what are the real driving principles? I think that would be a fascinating debate and a fascinating conversation for the country, not just for Joe Biden and President Trump. That's a conversation for the country that I think we have to get back to in terms of, hey, what kind of country do we want to be? What kind of government will help us get there?
I mean, aren't we de facto three parties now? I mean, you really, if I say Democrat, I mean, that's, I have a lot of Democrat friends. You can actually talk and have a conversation. But the progressives, the far left, and the people that, you know, don't want the First Amendment, if you disagree because you're a hater and you're a race baiter and you're a racist, I mean, it's just that is different than the Democrat, I think.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Stevie J, and it is, and you have some of that same element on the far extremes of the right, but on the left, it's sort of the tolerant intolerant. They want everyone to be tolerant of them, while they continue to be intolerant of people of faith. Really interesting, with Representative John Lewis lying in state in the nation's capital today. He was a man of faith. It was a public focus in terms of civil rights, but it was driven by a religious faith, as were most of those great leaders. I wrote a piece this morning and said, look, the progressives better be careful, because if they drive the faith out of the public square, the very faith that drove people like Martin Luther King Jr. and John Lewis, you're kind of taking a sledgehammer to the soapbox you're standing on.
Yeah,
and this whole cancel culture is just such a problem. One really interesting link, you know, often John Lewis has been that link back to Martin Luther King Jr. Yesterday, he actually took that binding cord even back a little further. Most people don't realize that the stand that his casket is sitting on, it's called a catafalque. And it's actually the same one that Abraham Lincoln's casket rested on in 1865.
Wow.
So really interesting connection for the ages there.
Well, Boyd Matheson, can't say that there's not a difference between the candidates and parties this year. That's for sure. I mean, it is as stark a difference as I can ever remember.
Yeah, it really is. The differences are clear. And the thing that I'm really watching, and I think that voters need to watch for, is how do they go about it? I was a little surprised over the weekend and a little disappointed, to be honest. Normally you have a president running for re-election, and their campaign is very much about the record, very much about the vision going forward, very much about why we need four more years. And I looked at some of the new ads that came out from the Trump campaign, and they were really more of the attack ad variety at Joe Biden. And, you know, normally that's kind of a flipped script. Normally you'd have the challenger would be attacking. And the Joe Biden campaign put out some very nice ads, I will say, over the weekend that really weren't about attacking President Trump, but were about, who he is and his story. So that's something we really got to watch, because the thing that ultimately motivates a voter to actually cast the vote is what you are for. They know that you are against the other side, but you have to make the case of what you're for. Yeah, we get angry. We know what we're against. We yell, we scream, we protest, we do those things. But ultimately, there's got to be a vision of what you are for. And I am hoping that the president and his people will begin to really lay that out in terms of, okay, we've gone through this. We've dealt with the pandemic. We had the economy humming. Here's how we're going to get it back. Here's where we're going next. And I think if they do that, then he's going to be very strong moving into the fall. I worry if it becomes just this attack back and forth between he and Biden. I don't think that bodes well for the president. And so there are stark differences. There are directional differences between the two parties and the two candidates this year, and up and down the ballot for that matter.
Right.
But we got to go back to those principles. I'm going to send you my one page.
Yeah.
Platform. that I think everybody should run on.
Hey, man, what do they say? Leave them wanting more, man. Let's just go. Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. Now, put it down. And before I let you go, Boyd Matheson, DeseretNews.com. Best guess at the running mate for Joe Biden is?
It still seems like all eyes are pointing towards Kamala Harris. I think she can play that attack dog role that the VP usually gets to play in this kind of election. So it seems like things are starting to line up that way. So that would be my best guess at this point.
Okay, Val Demings, Stacey Bates.
Yeah, all definitely in the mix there. And it's always the one thing that Kamala Harris has is she's sort of gone through the initial vetting in her own presidential.
Right.
So that's helpful. She's been on a stage. She's been on the national platform. And so she does have some advantages there in terms of, okay, they've already done, they know what the opposition research is on Kamala Harris. They're probably putting that together as they assess some of those other candidates.
Okay, we appreciate you, Boyd. How do people read you?
They can go to Deseret.com, D-E-S-E-R-E-T, Deseret.com, or they can follow me on Twitter at Boyd Matheson.
You're the man. Thanks for your help and thanks for your work.
Hey, always great to be with you. Appreciate what you guys do. Keep the conversation rolling.
You bet it. Boyd Matheson, ESPN 93.5, and now from Washington, D.C. When I was walking in the... There he is, Griff Chicken. He's a stockholder in Rendezvous Ribs, I think, something like that. Well, you did a great job filling in last week for Fox and Friends, man. They got you all over the board. What time do you go to bed? When do you wake up? What's the Griff Jenkins, Fox News television star? What's your schedule?
Oh man, good morning. It's a sad story. I never get any sleep after trying to raise the best I can two teenage daughters and working this news cycle, man. I'm down for like 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, but how could you not chase it? I'm actually standing outside of on the south lawn of the White House because we've got such a huge day today. But, you know, you the adrenaline of this news cycle has just kept me going. And really, for pretty much the better part of the last 4 months, I've been wanting to stay in this game every day that I can because it's history, man. This is we've never seen stuff like this before, and we're going to look back on it. Probably remember 2020 was not the greatest of fond memories, but certainly a historical one.
Hey, listen, pay-per-view for the Attorney General today. I can't wait. This is going to be good because Attorney General Barr has got it going on. According to the stuff I'm reading, he's going to be both barrels, man.
That's exactly right. Let me just tell you, I've been talking to my sources inside the Department of Justice this morning, and they tell me that he's not only loaded for beer, but that he's had multiple sessions preparing with his officials for today's testimony. And while the Democrats have telegraphed their punch, they want to talk to him about everything, from the Mueller probe, the Mueller report, to the Russia probe, all the way to the commutation of Roger Stone, ultimately, and also about the deployment of federal authorities in Portland. He is ready, and they told me that he will go on offense if he gets that opportunity. So we're going to have the classic setup, right? Whether those Democrat members that want to, quote, grill him will use their five minutes as a soliloquy, or will they ask actually pointed questions in which the Attorney General feels he is more than prepared to answer.
All right, you've been a reporter for a while. You've been out there a while. Have you ever felt the stuff going on today and the fact that every day I know is unpredictable, but this is a head shaker time kind of thing? Like, what's going on to America?
Well, you couldn't have said it any better. And I've been doing it for, you know, I came to Fox in 2000. And, you know, I remember when I read over the past weekend that former Senator California Barbara Boxer was writing an op-ed in the Washington Post where she's blasting DHS deployment to Portland, saying that she wouldn't vote for the creation of DHS if she would have known it would be used in, quote, this way. It's unbelievably a snapshot of the really partisan divide that's tearing the nation apart, because that creation in the wake of 9/11 in February of 2002 was authorized 90-9 in the Senate to create DHS to protect us. And what DHS is saying is, review what we're doing, but come and see what we're under attack and our duties to protect federal property, in this case, that Mark Hatfield Federal Courthouse in Portland, that violent criminals, not the protesters during the day, but the nighttime anarchists, have tried to set on fire now for 61 straight nights. I thought it was very fascinating that the AP reporter that was embedded in Portland in that courthouse, seeing it from law enforcement news with the rocks, the fireworks, which are commercial grade, the lasers, all this coming under attack. One thing's for sure, that this cannot sustain. This unbelievable moment of chaos and lawlessness has got to come to some resolution, because as Teddy Roosevelt put it perfectly, liberty without order and order without liberty are mutually destructive. And so while few disagree that law and order is a fundamental basic of civilization, at some point we've got to recognize the threat that continuing this gives us. And who knows where that ends? Maybe it's before November 3rd. Maybe it's not.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's one for the money.
From Memphis, Tennessee, Griff Jenkins. Lastly, is there any rumor next to Graceland, Griffland? What do you think, breaking ground?
Listen, my hometown of Memphis wouldn't want Griffland, even if I paid for every bit of it myself. I would never want to take away from the king's legacy. I'm just lucky to be a born and raised there.
Hey, listen, I appreciate always. Thanks for chiming in. Appreciate the call.
Hey, you guys are great. Have a great week. We're going to do anything.
That's a reporter for Fox News TV, Griff Jenkins. Big fan of Rendezvous Ribs. He said it's the best barbecue ribs ever. Griff Jenkins, who anchors on the weekend, fills in anchors all over the board. ESPN 93.5. All right, 7:51. You're always welcome to chime in on our program. We'd love to hear from you at 351-2255. Facebook viewers, you're welcome to message us. We see everything. And we thank you for listening in all the platforms. It's Tuesday, so we're going to call Dr. Todd Likens here in a moment and talk a little bit about your dogs and cats. And if there's issues regarding your pet, you may text those questions in as well at 359-2255. Do not forget, this is your final few days, and we've had some wonderful entries in the University of Illinois Community Credit Union Business Bounce Back Contest. We, along with UICCU, we'll be giving away three $1,000 advertising campaigns to help get the word out about your small business. Everybody is doing more good now than ever. We're trying to get back. We're trying to crawl back. It's been brutal for the small business person, trying to keep the doors open, trying not to go under. It's been devastating. You can sign up your business today to win some free advertising right here on ESPN 93.5. Go to and thank you to the University of Illinois Community Credit Union. To register and to enter, just go to steviej.com. No purchase necessary. Winners will be selected during the week of August 3rd. That'll be next week, believe it or not. So steviejay.com to enter, and maybe you'll get $1,000 in advertising. We'd love to work with you.
BC Bank is honored to serve you. To our healthcare workers, first responders, and local businesses, you're central to the communities we're proud to call home. BC is grateful to partner with you and your families through life's ups and downs, today and for generations to come. Because as neighbors helping neighbors, we're in this together. BC, grateful to serve the communities we call home. Member FDIC.
Designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surfaces stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
I love
like to spend my time trying to answer life's most important questions. What is the meaning of life? Do fish ever get thirsty? Why does round pizza come in a square box? How can I be sure I'll be approved for my next car purchase?
I can answer that one.
You can?
Just go to Honda BMW of Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy.
Could this possibly be true? Quickly, to Honda BMW of Champaign.
They may not know the meaning of life, but you can be sure that their staff will get you placed in the car you want at a price you can afford. Online at drivechampaign.com.
On Tuesdays, we call our veterinarian friend, Dr. Todd Likens, the pet pro. They breed these amazing snow angels, a.k.a. white golden retrievers, or beautiful animals. Also located next to the police station in Mahomet, and of course, Madison Kirby in Champaign. Todd, how are you? Thought I heard him. Todd, you there?
I'm here.
There he is. Thought maybe he handed the phone to that one dog that looks me in the eye and puts his paw on my chest. That's Avalanche. Yeah.
Avalanche is here and waiting for you already.
Well, so the dog jumps up, puts a paw on my chest, and looks me in the eye, and then Todd says he does that to everybody. Oh, okay, fine, whatever.
You're special, Steve. He only does that to everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
All right, what are we seeing on the streets of dog and cat land? What do you got?
The older ones are showing some stress from all the heat wave that's been going on. So I'm glad for a little milder temperatures. They, various older age type things, kidneys, failure and things like that can become out of control. So been doing a lot of help that way. We had so many phone calls yesterday about sick animals. It was crazy.
Mm. Okay. Again, because of the heat, you got to be so careful with the heat in your dog, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. It's a stress, and you just got to make sure you baby them a little bit, make sure they've got plenty of water and they're eating good. I mean, a lot of them people are just telling me they're retreating, and you can just think they're hot, but you got to make sure they're okay, too.
Yeah, we have the two older ones, Charlie and Bella, and our walks aren't very long anymore, that's for sure. And, boy, they get really tired. I mean, just imagine if you're older, if you're 80-some years old and you go out with a fur coat or whatever, a parka, it's going to be hard because these dogs are hot, man.
Yeah, exactly. And so you got to be careful about your grooming, too. There are certain dogs that shouldn't be groomed because that coat's an insulator to protect them from the sun. So especially if they've been groomed and say, shaved down, then you got to be real cautious.
What can I get for $25 from you again?
Hey, bath, nails, the anal gland cleaned and ears cleaned and hopefully friendly service.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you. How do people reach Dr. Todd Likens?
Hey, we're always available, 355-PETS, petprovet at Gmail. It may take us a while to get back to you due to the volume of stuff going on, but we'll get there.
Well, we know you're busy. You do a great job. We appreciate you, Todd. Thank you, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
You bet. Dr. Todd Likens, a pet pro.
Nice.
You got to watch the dogs overheating.
You're right about that.
And I just would not leave them in the car, period. It just gets too hot too quickly. And when we leave our dogs in the car, we have the fancy Honda Gizmo where we can lock them in there with the air blowing.
Mm-hmm.
I left little Lovey in there, and it was just too cold. I felt terrible because I had to.
Is that right?
Too cold. She came in, she's like looking at me going, where's my blanket? Sorry about that. Otherwise, I don't leave them. It's just too hot. Okay, and do you know that August is Saturday?
So I know.
Whatever that means in our life these days when it's kind of a blend and we're all getting instruction and guidance. Georgetown Ridge Farm School Board says we're going to do all remote learning. Mm. The Urbana Teachers, according to the News Gazette this morning, says we ought to do all remote learning.
So hard on the kids.
Yeah.
Because they need that personal teacher that's certified to help them through.
I'm going to rename a street called Plantation at Stone Creek.
Right.
And my only thought to that is, you want to start this? Isn't there a white street? I mean, where does it begin and end? I mean, there are probably other streets that would remind one of slavery or something. I would point out that when you start a process like this, it could be pretty daunting to spend that kind of time and effort on renaming everything that might remind you of something, and everybody's perception of a word's going to be different.
Right.
Wow.
13 residents on the street.
13 people. Again, you can go through the phone book and look at all the street names and say, wait a minute, that one offends me. Right? I mean, it's legit.
I guess.
You can, I got to look at the street names, but there'll be some streets in there that will somewhere distant I got really, really upset when I heard Mike Ditka be called by TMZ. I mean, I just wish he hadn't taken the call because it's just not worth it. So TMZ asked Coach about kneeling in the national anthem. Mm-hmm. For people that listen to Coach, you know what he thinks about that. And Mike Ditka said, if you can't respect our flag, get the hell out of the country. Mm-hmm. That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that here before.
Yeah.
So the agent for Aaron Rodgers and a big highfalutin agent said, well, Coach Ditka traded in his football shoes for a white cloak many years ago.
Oh, no.
It's so dishonest and so unfair. We're going to talk about this on Friday. I mean, I told Johnny he was pretty upset. I mean, it's just a lie.
Right.
Mike Ditka is no KKK. That was started by the Democratic Party anyway. I mean, it's so unfair. Pure lies. The man doesn't have a racist bone in his body, but because he's white and he says that, you know, if you have to respect the flag, now respecting the flag apparently is racist, right?
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
That's what that means.
I guess.
If you don't respect the flag, get out of the country is now, well, he traded his shoes for a white sheet many years ago. How? That just shouldn't get upset. It's stupid. Anyway, that's the agent to Aaron Rodgers. That's
people just trying to grab a headline.
Well, it's just unfair because they just say you're a racist. That's how they end all the arguments. You're just a racist. It's unfair. Okay, 8 o'clock, time for the news. You're